The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. From hot dogs to cool kitties, this is Dark Side of the Pooch.
Welcome back to the Dark Side of the Pooch. He's Dr. Rab Stewart, of course, Rossbridge Animal Hospital's owner. He's the man, he's the plan, and he's got it every single week right here on Tony Curry Radio where we do this show, which is about pet care. And anyone who knows the show knows exactly what it's all about, by kitty dogs and doggy geese and everything else. And you can hear the stuff in the background going on. What's going on, my friend? How are you?
It's all good, man. Yeah. Just, you know, taking care of whatever's in front of me.
I understand. You always have a couple interesting stories about what's going on inside your office, inside the store. Anything good going on in the last few days you could share with us?
Man, all right. I'll tell you what's good. Mm-hmm. I took Monday off.
Yeah.
I'm normally off on Wednesdays. Uh-huh. I have a very short memory when it comes to what has happened in my professional life.
Okay.
So, the only thing I can tell you is that I saw one of the worst offensive performances by any college football team in the second half in Auburn on Saturday.
Okay.
And then I turned and I headed northeast and I watched my son's beloved Buffalo Bills have what would be to them an equally terrible offensive performance in the Mercedes-Benz Dome for Monday Night Football. Mm. So I have lots of football stories. I have zero animal stories.
Oh, that's okay. That's okay. Yeah, I was watching that Auburn game. We have another show here called K4 Wins, which is a handicapping show. And I actually had Georgia as one of my big plays this weekend, only because, because Kirby's had Auburn's number for quite some time, and so is Georgia. But at the same time, I'm not sure if you freeze the guy. But I will say this: they scored about as many points as Alabama did against Georgia in the second half. That Georgia squad makes some adjustments at halftime. That's all I can say. It's a better team than we think they are. Obviously, it's not the same Georgia we're used to giving up like 8 or 9 points a ball game. But and then I don't know what, you know, you're talking to a Bengals fan, so I don't know what we had Joe Flacco as our quarterback. I don't know what the hell. I woke up and like, and I'm in some type of weird NFL Twilight Zone, something or other, like Aaron Rodgers wearing Pittsburgh colors and Joe Flacco is my quarterback. I don't know what's going on. It's just really weird. It's been a weird year, man. It's been very strange.
Everybody's just scrambling to make it.
Indiana's number 3 in the country. I mean, the Indiana Hoosiers number 3 in the country. What is going on and what's happening, man? I was like, what is this? You know what I mean?
The times, they are a-changing.
They really are. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. We always like to talk about changes of the season. And what it means for our petty poos, because we always bring it up, and we might as well do it because for the first time since we've done the show, it has finally cooled off at night. We got temperatures in the 50s, and right away, I cannot believe it. I shared this with you, I think, the last time we talked, maybe when we were at the concert together, that all of a sudden I get really cold now. I'm like an old man. Like I get really cold, like I used to wear just my underwear to bed for like 50 something years. And now I'm wearing long pajamas and a flannel shirt when I go to bed at night in the middle of summertime. I'm like, what the hell's wrong with me? I mean, it's just the most bizarre thing in the world. Like in the morning when I get up, I have to put something on my arms all the way down because I'm freezing. I just feel so sensitive. Like if you touch me just wrong, I'm like, it's just the most bizarre thing. So it has a lot.
I just looked this up. I just Googled this. Why do old people get cold?
Okay. What's it say?
And I'm not calling you old.
Yeah.
Okay. Reduced blood flow.
All right.
Age, blood vessels become less elastic.
That.
All right.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Slower metabolism.
Yes.
Body's metabolism slows down.
Yeah.
Producing less heat.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Thinning skin. Skin becomes thinner with age. Yeah. Reduces the ability to insulate body heat.
That's me. That's it.
There's some other things that I know don't apply to you, so I won't even read those.
There you go. No, it could be. I mean, it's just the most bizarre thing because I've got that, They always say you're kind of set by 50s. You know, once you're 50 years old, you're kind of set. You're kind of into the teams you're into. You're into the foods you're into. You're into the cars you're into. Not a whole lot changes after you turn 50. And here I am about ready to turn 60 next year. I mean, like everything, I'm turning everything up on its head. I'm thinking about buying a Subaru. I mean, I don't know what the hell's wrong with me. It's just the most bizarre thing in the world. But I am still going to great rock concerts. Still going to see concerts, man. Like Fish and stuff like that with you. So I'm still getting after it. So I'm still on fire there. So I feel pretty good about that.
You got to continue to expand your horizons.
So talk about it's amazing too, the fact that I was 59 years old before I saw my first Fish concert, and I've known you for as long as I have. That should tell you that at least I'm turning over a few good leaves. Tell me about what pets go through when the temperature starts getting a little cooler. How does it affect their skin? Physiologically, is there any different type of changes for cats, dogs when it gets a little cooler at night? Do they have allergy issues? Do they have problems with any type of nighttime things, whatever? You know what I'm talking about.
The temperature with this, when it's going from summer to fall, there's no temperature things that you really have to worry about. They're not going to get cold enough to have any issues. But they do have seasonal allergies that can make them have respiratory or skin issues because there are plants that are around, that aren't around at any other time of year. Like, I'm not a, herpetologist or a botanist or whatever plant people are. But I do know that there is, a lot of, yellow flowering something along all the roads that I drive down. I think it's goldenrod. So, you know, that's something that you only see this time of year. And there's lots of other things that are only around this time of year. And so mainly dogs, but sometimes cats, they can be allergic to that stuff and they can have some coughing and sneezing. But they can also more commonly have itchy skin.
Okay. So, and I mean, it's outside. I know a lot of people like to dress their animals. Certainly for Halloween coming up, but there are some people that actually like to put like sweaters and stuff on their dogs and stuff as it gets cold. Is that okay? Is that a decent idea? I mean, outside them looking absolutely ridiculous, but I would assume some dogs probably get used to it, right?
It's fine to do as long as they're not getting too hot. And if they're getting too hot, they'll do a lot of panting. So, you know, if you put it on them and they're panting, you need to take it off because they're either panting because they're hot, they're too hot, or they're panting because they're stressed out it because they hate it.
Yeah, there you
they
go.
Don't want it on them.
Yeah.
So they're either too hot or too stressed. So either way, take it off.
Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. I'm glad I've thought of this because I pulled some stuff up and like I said, since I'm old, sometimes I think about something and I got to put it down as a reminder on my phone or also forget about it. And I saw this story about the European Court of Justice asking to intervene after a dog was lost on a journey from Buenos Aires to Barcelona. Pets on flights can be classified as baggage now, they're saying. The European Court of Justice has ruled, meaning airlines can basically charge not only for the dog as baggage, but it's not really their problem if it gets lost. We lose baggage and luggage all the time, right? But they're saying that basically a dog or a cat is the same thing as luggage. Give me some travel plans because I know a lot of people. We get some people that like to go down to the beach and stuff like that during this time of the year as well. Some what do they call them? Beach birds that like to take some time off.
Snowbirds.
I call them beach birds. Snowbirds. I am off today. Snowbirds, they go down there and spend a few months down at the beach for a little while when it gets cold everywhere else. But talk about some things we must think about when we travel with our pets.
Sometimes I consider my kids baggage.
Yeah, I hear you.
My wife probably considers me baggage.
Yeah, there's no doubt.
I would never say that about her. But yeah, that's interesting that the airlines can kind of do that.
It actually limits airlines' liability for lost animals. So if they lose your animal, you can now say, well, it's like you've lost a family member. It's too bad. Because evidently there were enough people now that were suing airlines for $60,000, $70,000 because they lost their dog. You lost my family member. They're like, well, then why was your family member sitting down in the bowels of the airplane?
I mean, in some ways I get it. Because we do kind of the same thing in some respects here, because they are animals and it's not exactly a hard science. But so anytime we put a pet under anesthesia, there's a form that owners fill out, and it says, I understand the risk of anesthesia. I understand if my pet does not make it through this procedure that I will not hold, you know, insert name of practice here liable. Because while every practice does their absolute best to keep an animal alive, sometimes there are things beyond our control. Yeah. I mean, sometimes do things happen because people make mistakes? Absolutely. But sometimes things happen because they just happen. So if an airline is like, and I know we're talking about misplacing and not necessarily something dying, but I can kind of get it. Like, let's say you got somebody that is unloading or loading the luggage into the plane, and they have had a bad day for whatever reason. They're going through a divorce. Their kid got expelled from school. They, you know, whatever. And they put something in the wrong place because they weren't thinking, man, that happens. Oh, that happens all. That happens all the time. Or an animal is in the, you know, cargo area or whatever, and it dies, you know, because it's a 18-year-old poodle with kidney disease. The airline doesn't know that.
Yeah.
So while on the surface, it would probably be like, oh man, look at this. The airline just totally shirking their duties or responsibilities. Now, I mean, it's kind of smart on their end.
It definitely
is. I mean, I just wouldn't, flying with an animal is not something that I would ever do personally, under one exception, which I'm pretty sure would never happen. If I'm moving to another continent, you know, and I can't drive, like I'm permanently moving.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'm not taking my animal on an airplane. Yeah. I'm just not. There's too many problems, many things that can happen. Okay. I'm not doing it.
Even if it's gone, like, I mean, first of all, you can call, you know, 208-037-0301, call you guys and go ahead and board them up for the week, which is the best way to go. But a lot of people are like, well, what am I supposed to do? How can I board my animal? I have to take it to the beach. I'm like, there's plenty of places that can board animals, not just veterinarian places. So if that's the case, but if you're one of those people just has to have your dog with you, I mean, that's a responsibility you took on when you took that animal. So
I mean, driving is one thing. Yeah. You want to put you want to take your animal across country. You want to drive to Portland, Oregon, or you want to drive to, you know, Portland, Maine, either Portland you want to drive to, then go for it.
Yeah.
But getting on an airplane with an animal, I mean, there's always, it's stressful. It's stressful for the animal. It's stressful for the owner. It's just not something I would do.
Yeah. I quite frankly, I don't have an issue. And it's weird because now all of a sudden people are wanting to bring their dogs to stores. I know Publix had this thing a couple of weeks ago where they had to start posting signs up saying, your dog's not allowed in here. This is a store. You know, I don't really care as long as they're not making a mess or barking or whatever, or biting anybody. I really don't care. I mean, I'm a dog guy. But yeah, for animal owners to all of a sudden believe that their dogs are like a human being and they should be able to take them wherever they go is kind of ridiculous. I don't know if you saw this story too out of Cherokee County. And this is something you don't hear a whole lot about. But Cherokee County's animal shelter, is facing overcrowding for the first time.
This is in Alabama.
Yes.
Cherokee County, Alabama.
May have to start euthanizing pets for the first time. I don't know how long they've been open. There was also a story about the Cheyenne Animal Shelter. This obviously is in Wyoming. And evidently they went and found a hoarder had saved over 100 different pets. And obviously if you're taking on that many pets at one time at one place, I mean, obviously it's going to change the dynamics and the logistics of how you're running your operation. And it's going to be very difficult to take on 100 pets. Well, how often does that happen? I think we always think, I always think of the doctor or the Disney movie. We always thought that, you know, once a dog is turned in and no one claims it for a period of time, it's going to be killed. Does that still happen? Is that true? Are they using this just to make us feel guilty so we'll go adopt pets? What's going on there?
There are shelters that are quote unquote, you know, kill shelters, and there are no kill shelters. So no, I mean, I don't think it's a ploy to try to get people to, you know, adopt an animal. I think it's just real life. you know, you only have so much room to house these animals. And if you try to overcrowd, you know, then you're going to have some problems with disease. And that becomes an inhumane situation.
That's
overcrowding, yeah. Hoarding. That is inhumane. It's a tough situation for that humane society. But I think that it's, unfortunately, it's real life. And the demand it was high for animals a few years ago. Everyone wanted an animal. Everyone got an animal. And some of those animals were surrendered because the people got them, not really because they wanted them, but because they had nothing else to do.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, we're getting to the point now where we're really 4 years past COVID, you know, so that excuse is starting to get a little bit, you know, probably dated, but I think it's still true, you know, and I think it will be true for a little bit longer for these humane societies. I think there's a lot of truth to it that people are surrendering pets. It's a sad situation. But if you don't have anywhere to put them, you don't have anywhere to put them.
Yeah. Do you know how many, and I wasn't aware I was aware. I just didn't know how many existed. But what about like local pounds, like the pound, like, you know, in a very small rural little town up in Illinois or something like that, that has something like that. What's the laws there? Do they have to let you know if they're a kill, facility, or is there any legal or liability if your dog gets lost and all of a sudden it's gone for 2 weeks? Could they put your animal down without notifying you? How does that work?
I'm not exactly sure how it would work in other states. I'm sure that this is a kind of a state's right kind of thing. But for Alabama, they're pretty stringent and laid out rules when it comes to how long you have to keep a pet before you can consider it abandoned. And then once it's considered abandoned, what you can do with it.
Okay.
So for us, and I always have to look it up because fortunately it doesn't happen very often, but I want to say it's like 10 to 14 days. You have to, if someone has abandoned a pet, then you have to notify them with a certified letter through the mail. Return receipt requested. So they know that, that they got the letter mm-hmm. stating that we have your animal. And then you give them a certain period of time. I believe it's 10 to 14 days. And if it goes unclaimed at that point, it becomes our property. We can do with it whatever we want. And all of the times that this has happened to me, which is only two in 8 years, it's only happened twice. We've just found homes for the animals. We found a client who wanted the dog, and we actually found an employee who wanted the dog in the other situation.
Okay, there you go. Info at TonyCurryRadio.net. Info at TonyCurryRadio.net. This is called Dark Side of the Pooch. He's Dr. Rab Stewart. It's always brought to you by Sasquatch Toys and Comics. I went down there again late last week, saw Seth. His story is just blowing and going, man. They just got so many stores. They got over 300 comics. Everything from graphic novel stuff to Lego sets to, I mean, you name it. If you're into toys, into the old stuff, it's really, really cool. Check out Sasquatch Toys and Comics down there. I have a citation link. Go down there and check them out. They do wonderful work. And again, with the holiday season coming up, they buy, sell, and trade as well. Info at TonyCurryRadio.net. Stacy in Birmingham wants to know, why are my dog's toenails different colors and what does it mean?
It's probably normal. Some nails can be black. Some nails can be brown. Some nails can be clear. And there's, as long as there's no swelling or odor or redness to the skin or discharge, then it's very likely that it's just different pigmentation for the nails. But if it's anything other than that, it could be something that needs to be treated.
All right. Todd says he's having an argument with his wife about cleaning their dog. He said every time they clean the dog, she always wants to clean their dog's ears. And he said that you're not supposed to clean the dog's ears. It's like they have to have a certain type of bacteria or something in the ears. So you should leave the dog's ears alone, unless, of course, the dog's ears are bothering it. It's got some type of ear infection. But she's like, I guess, takes a paper towel and wipes out the inside. If you're ever just driving down the road, you find yourself and your fingers in your dog's ear and you don't realize it, and you're kind of like, ew, you know, and it just kind of feels warm, and but sometimes there's crusty stuff in there. What should you do with your dog's ears?
If they look dirty, you should clean them.
Okay.
If they don't look dirty, you should not clean them.
Okay.
You know, I mean, and by look dirty, you don't need any instruments. You know, you don't need any medical instruments to look down in your dog's ear. If you look just with your eyes, flip the dog's ear up and you look down in there, if it doesn't look dirty, don't mess with it.
Yep.
Because if you do mess with it when it doesn't need to be messed with, then you can cause problems.
What kind of problems can you cause? This is a great question. It's the first time we've gotten this question. I was not aware, but it makes sense. But what kind of problems can we cause?
Well, if you are filling up the ear canal and you're putting a lot of stuff down in there, then you could cause some trauma to the ear canal, which if trauma is caused, that's going to create inflammation, and inflammation changes the skin barrier. And that's what the ear canal is. It's skin. And so when that changes and the environment changes, then you can set them up for infection.
Yeah.
If you put something down in your dog's ear and it makes them shake their head a lot, they can rupture a blood vessel inside the ear flap and create a hematoma, which is painful and has to be treated. The only time that my dog's ears are cleaned out is probably once every 3 or 4 months, when instead of bathing him at home, I bring him to work and they bathe him here.
Okay. And they'll usually clean his ears out.
Yeah.
All right. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. This from another Todd. Can my dog get headaches from its ears being blown in? This is a good question. I think I've asked this question before. You know, my son Xavier likes to blow because his ears, you know, when you blow a dog's ears, it'll wiggle, and he thinks it's hilarious. But I know that if someone was constantly blowing in my ear, it would probably end up giving me a headache. You know what I mean? Just because, not just, I don't know. It just seems like it would not be a healthy thing to continually blow into someone's ear canal. Does it bother a dog as much as it bothers humans?
Dog ear canals are shaped in a different way. They're shaped like an L. They're not just a straight shot into the middle ear and the inner ear like it is with people.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think you're giving the dog a headache. Now it might be annoying, but I don't think you're causing any pain. Probably, if anything, you're just causing your dog to be annoyed.
Yeah, there you go. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. Rosie in Birmingham says that her dog loves to eat the inside of pumpkins. We went to the pumpkin patch this past week and saw our good friend, Dr. Jerry Baker up there. And of course, the doctor of coaching, he's fantastic. He's got himself a good little gig going up there at the old Baker, $13 for a pumpkin.
Yeah,
$13 for a pumpkin. I mean, they are raking it in, man. It's pretty good stuff. Yeah. But evidently she's cleaning out the inside of the pumpkins. And when he cleans out, you get all that stuff. And she said her dog loves to eat this stuff. Is it okay for dogs to eat the inside of a pumpkin?
Yeah. I think that'd probably be best to avoid the seeds.
Yeah.
You know, that could cause maybe some inflammation in the GI tract. I don't think it would cause an obstruction, but it might cause some inflammation and some, you know, some pain.
Any truth to eating a seed and making the seed actually develop into a plant in the stomach of an animal? Is it true? Is that a myth?
No, I mean, despite what I tell my kids, yes, it is a myth.
Okay, good.
Yeah, but eating just like, you know, the stuff you scoop out of there, the actual, I don't even know, the innards of a pumpkin, as long as it's not the seeds, you should be fine.
You ever had a pumpkin seed?
Oh, yeah. Okay, man, this was, so my kids are getting older now, and they are just taking up more of our time, which is great. But before, even before we had kids, and when our kids were very young, I discovered these pumpkin stencils and these intricate little tools that you can do pumpkin carving with.
Yeah.
So probably like in the early years of my marriage, like, you know, 10, 11, 12, 13 years ago, we would do these really fun, like, pumpkin carvings. Mm-hmm. And I would scoop them out and I'd have all these instruments and I would make this crazy stuff. And while I did that, my wife would roast the seeds, the pumpkin seeds.
There you go.
And then we would eat them. And so it was a fun little tradition that we had for a few years until we just got too busy to do it.
They're pretty good.
They're good.
If you've ever, if you go to a store, you can get pumpkin seeds, and it's hard to describe what exactly they taste like. But you can eat them by the handfuls, just like sunflower seeds. It is like giant sunflower seeds.
They're kind of like bitter sunflower seeds.
Yeah, a little bit.
Like bitter sunflower seeds.
A little bit. Are you a pumpkin patch guy?
It's not something I'm going to seek out on my own, you know, but if Halloween is, really crept up on me. I mean, two weeks away.
Yeah. And I think what they did is the pumpkins this year were better than any pumpkins I've ever seen.
Why is that?
Well, it's because they brought their own pumpkins in. Because it didn't hardly rain, I think it really hurt the pumpkin harvest. And so they had to go out and buy pumpkins and bring them in so that they have enough pumpkins for people to pick. And when they did that, there were blue pumpkins, purple, pink, and punk. I mean, there were pumpkins, all kinds of cool looking pumpkins. And I was like, this is kind of weird seeing all these different colored pumpkins in a pumpkin patch filled with orange pumpkins. Not to say you can't have different colored pumpkins in an orange pumpkin patch, but you could just tell that it looked like there were a bunch of them placed, because they didn't strategically place them. They weren't like hiding Easter eggs. You know what I mean? Right. They were just dumping them out and making sure you could see them all and pull them that way. So
I've been to my kids' elementary school has a field trip to Old Baker. I think it's when you're in first grade. Mm-hmm. And so I went with all my kids.
Love it.
And, we're plugging them here, but they're, it's fun, man. It's fun to go out there. They've got a good operation and they change it seasonally. You know, it's fun.
Yeah, it's absolutely killer. All right. Can't believe it's almost time to wrap the show up, but I got one more info@tonycurryradio.net. I promise to do a show next week, cause it'll be the last show before Halloween or second last Halloween show. Another Todd wants to know, it's not the same Todd. No, it's not. three Todds today, chiming in, wants to know what's the scariest movie dog that Dr. Reb's ever seen. And we can get back into this again next week, because I want you to do a little homework for me. What's the scariest dog, Cujo? What is it? What's the scariest dog, you've seen in the movies?
Oh man. I'm trying to think of a scary dog. I'm sure there are some.
There hasn't been a really good badass dog movie in a while. You know what I mean? You get Turner and Hooch. You always get those goofy Beethoven. You get those goofy big dog stories. I get those things. Cujo.
I guess technically the new Superman movie with the super dog. I mean, that's kind of scary. A dog that has superpowers. I mean, that's a little bit terrifying if he goes off the rails. There's a new movie out called Good Boy, where this is not, but it's a horror movie from the perspective of the dog. Have you heard about that?
I have not. I hear about it now. Yeah, it sounds good now.
A friend of mine saw it. He said it was pretty well done, but it's instead of, you know, the horror movie where it's, you know, the perspective of the people that are being tormented.
Yeah.
It's from the perspective of the dog.
Oh, I like that. That's good.
Yeah.
Always brought to you by Sasquatch Toys and Comics, just in time for the holidays. Seth and his entire crew, Ben, they do wonderful work down there with 300,000 different comics. No matter what you're looking for, everything from all kinds of Legos. He's actually asked me if I had any signed autograph stuff. He's trying to get in the autograph business a little bit, so I may end up selling some of my stuff down there to him, because I don't need it anymore. But he's just got some wonderful stuff down there in Homewood off of Citation Lane. Sasquatch Toys and Comics, Sasquatch Toys and Comics. Tell people how they can find you, my friend.
You can call us at 208-0301. You can email us, rossbridgeanimalhospital@gmail.com, or you can find us on Facebook and apparently at any football game in the Southeast.
There you go. Any interesting stuff's going on, rock and roll? You going to go see the new Bruce Springsteen flick? I hear it's not very good. The dude that plays Bruce does not look enough like Bruce for me. I don't know why. I didn't see the Bob Dylan flick. I as a rock and roller, I haven't seen the new Spinal Tap yet.
But I have zero interest in biopics. I have zero interest in biopics. I did try to watch This Is Spinal Tap 2, or This Is Continues, or whatever the name of it is. And I can't remember why it didn't work. I was trying to stream it or something. I rented it. But anyway, it didn't work. So I really want to see it.
Okay, not that it wasn't good. It was just something that didn't work out.
Yeah, something didn't work out. Okay. The only concert I currently have tickets to, and this would not be considered rock and roll, but it's very, very good music. a guy named Bela Fleck, who is a banjo player.
I know Bela Fleck.
He has, for 40 years, he's had an incredible band called the Flecktones. Mm-hmm. And they are coming to Atlanta and Nashville, and it's billed as a Christmas show.
Oh, wow.
Now, I don't know if they, because they have an incredible catalog of music, but I don't know if they're just playing Christmas and holiday songs. If they do, that's fine. I'll be fine with it, because they are, they are virtuoso musicians.
Yeah.
And even after 40 years, they are still cutting edge. In the late 80s, he was doing stuff with sampling that, really a lot of hip hop artists weren't even doing yet.
Yeah.
So he is, him and his band are incredible. So anyway, I'm seeing them in Atlanta December 18th. I really would like to go see, this is kind of a soft rock kind of guy, Bruce Hornsby is playing next month at the Googe Center in Auburn, but it's a Thursday night, so I won't be able to go. But if you're in Auburn or you want to get down to Auburn, I think it's November 4th, Bruce Hornsby, who played with the Grateful Dead and had massive hits in the 80s, one with Don Henley that Don Henley sang.
Yep.
Go see him at the Jay Googe Performing Arts Center in Auburn.
He was a studio guy for a long period of time until he came out with his first album. And obviously it had The Way It Is on it. At Valley Road, he had just a ton of great hits. Every Little Kiss was a great song.
Awesome.
He just could play some great. And then he played with the Rolling Stones, you mentioned several times. And he also played, of course, with the Grateful Dead. So once he played with the Grateful Dead, well, he knew he was cool. So he was good to go. By the way, and I forgot to mention this too, last week, Rick Springfield and Richard Marx were in town down at the concert hall doing an acoustics show. I didn't know anything about it. I hadn't heard anything about it. I was down there and someone said, oh yeah, because we were down there for that Yacht Rock thing a couple of weeks ago, which was great. It was fun. And I was thinking to myself, man, that would have been an interesting show. I could do Richard Marx solo. I don't know why I'd want to see Rick Springfield in that solo thing. And of course, a lot of the times, it's, I guess, just to cheapen show a little bit because he doesn't have to bring his whole band, but I'd rather see Rick with the entire band. But anyway, so yeah, some good shows going on. So if you get a chance, go check out your Ticketmaster thing, go pay out the nose for it, and go check out some good shows. All right, my man, thank you very much. I appreciate you. We'll catch you next week.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.